be ready.
Tessa Dor Aleph, 18th of February, Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, the Mishkan and Kabonis.
Just a little introduction. The Sefer Shmois, the Ramban calls Sefer Shmois Sefer HaGeula. Chazal called it Sefer HaGeula. And about half of the parshias, the last five parshias, are dealing with the Mishkan. Now, before the Mishkan belongs more to the to Karbanos, which is Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is called Sefer Karbanos. So why isn't the Mishkan in Sefer Vayikra? Why is it in Sefer Shmois? So the Ramban is in his Akdama to Shmois addresses this issue, and he says the Geula is only completed once a full circle was made, and we're back to where we were before the Golus started. And since the Avos are the chariots of the Markova, then a Shechina dwells amongst them. So only once Shechina came and dwelled amongst us, then we are back to what we were prior to the Yudit of Mitzrayim, and that's called that we did a full circle, and the Geula has been completed. Therefore, the Parshis of the Mishkan are in Sefer Shmois, because Sefer Shmois is Sefer Geula, and the Geula is not only coming out of Egypt and being stopping being Avdei Paro, but also a spiritual redemption that we're back to where we were initially before the Golus started. That's what the Ramban says. Just room to ask, but the Avos were in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan was in the Midbar. So is that called the full circle? Are we back to where we started from if the initial place was Eretz Yisrael? Aren't we still in the Kiyum of the Golus, Be'eretz Lo Lahem? Ramban himself says that we, as long as we were Be'eretz Lo Lahem, the Ramban quotes that pasuk. So we're not called redeemed. How did the Mishkan transform the Midbar to Eretz Lahem? It's not. It's still a Midbar. So where is the full circle? So Muzman Zogit, that the Maila of Eretz Yisrael is, that's a place of Shechina. And wherever we have Shechina dwelling amongst us, you are having the Maila of Eretz Yisrael. Namely, that Eretz Yisrael is, there's nothing in Yiddishkeit which is a value on its own. Everything is means to an end. The end is a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not even Torah. We speak about Torah the whole time. Torah is also a means. It's a means of getting close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. What happens if someone learns Torah and he does not get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu? The Gemara says very harsh words about him. Zocha nasis lo sama chayim, lo zocha nasis lo sama misa. And the Gemara in Yuma, Rava told his Talmidim, make sure you have Yiras Shemayim, the Gemara in Yuma define base with base, because if not, you're going to get a double Gehenna. In Olam Hazeh, you didn't enjoy it to the full because you were from, and then after you die, you'll get Gehenna again. So meaning, nothing in Yiddishkeit is a value on its own. It's all means to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But without, if you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture, there's nothing left. So Mele, Eretz Yisrael, it's true that once we entered in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, we entered Eretz Yisrael, so then the Mechilta says in Pasha's Boy, Meshirichnisu la'aretz, nislu kol ha'arotzes l'nebuah. So then now would only be in Eretz Yisrael, and there won't be another Mishkan in Chutz Aretz. But prior to entering Eretz Yisrael, we were in a situation, we're in a place that the Shechina is amongst us. That is the Maila of Eretz Yisrael. That comes after the Ramban. So it's called the full circle, and we're back to where we started from. Hagam, we're still in the desert. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu did not enter Eretz Yisrael till the end of Sefer Dvarim. So he didn't enter. But we have already the Maila of Eretz Yisrael. And then by the same token, if someone lives in Eretz Yisrael and does not use it as a springboard to a relationship, a meaningful kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he's missing the boat. It's not a land per se, rather it's a chetinza for a kesher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what you see, point number one. Point number two, which I want to speak about, is a little hagdama, the one I want to speak about today is the idea of Shabbos is also related to the Mishkan. Namely, the malachas that we're not supposed to do on Shabbos is the malachas derived from the Mishkan. And here comes a very basic question again. It comes up that the mitzvah of Shabbos is really the first time you have a mitzvah called Valachta Bedracha. Valachta Bedracha means you should emulate it. Good. Okay, well, let's wake up here. After like 10 minutes, we could sleep. We can't start sleeping. You can't start the week with a shlof. But us, the day off is Shabbos. After you earned it for 6 days, then you could shlof. You can't start sleeping. That's the guy on Sunday. The week starts with the day off. We conclude the week with the day off. Nachon? Okay, so the mitzvah of Shabbos is to emulate Hashem, right? Here comes the basic question. Hashem stopped creating a world, and we stopped from building a Mishkan. It's apples and oranges, like we say in America. Oh, here it's called cheese and chalk. Chalk and cheese. Which is even better. Apples and oranges are both very prepared. Chalk and cheese, no kasher. The whole idea of Shabbos is, tomorrow night we have Shabbos, is to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceased from creating an oilam of Eretz v'Shamayim. We are stopping a malachas which built a Mishkan. Ma kasher. What, the same thing? And my stop.
It's creativity.
It's not the same creativity. It's then. It's creativity in a whole totally different area. So Muslim Zogin, again what I say, this point Rav Futnan Satzal brings out, it's a more like a Nakuda. If I do not look at the world as one big Mishkan, my Shabbos doesn't make sense. The world has to be looked upon as a Mishkan. What does that mean? That we as Yidden understand that the whole world was created for Avodas Hashem. And therefore, here comes a real similarity between the world and the Mishkan. The world is a Mokum Avoda, created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us. And the Mishkan is a Mokum Avoda, created by us, to be Avodas Hashem. But if I fail to look at the world as one big shul, Shabbos doesn't make sense. It's creativity, but it's totally two different fields. That's not called the Tzad HaShavah. Muslim Zogin, what I say? Again, that means in Yiddish, we have to say that the outlook is that when we look at the world, you open the window, you see a world, you're looking into a shul. You're looking into a mokum avoida. Really? Absolutely. Now you can say, well, that's pretty easy to do if you're looking out of a window to Mea Shoah. You're looking out of a window to you see the Kaisel. Look at the window and you see Brett Street, it's kind of hard to say, I feel I'm in a mikdash. But that's absolutely what it means, Rabbi Yisai. And I want to add to that, that's a comment, Rabbi Yisai, that before Shabbos enters, we light candles. And the Rishonim speak about it. Why do we light candles? Because the Maral says in their mitzvah, a candle represents Olam Hazeh. Why? There's a wick. There's wax, there's physical things there, but it's all subservient to the fire. And it's all there for the fire. That's Olam Hazeh. Kinel Mitzvah is called Olam Hazeh. Then Olam Hazeh is or, just light. No candles, no nothing, just light. It's totally spiritual. Olam Hazeh is, there's a physical world, oh yes there is, and there's a spiritual one, and the relationship between these two aspects is that the physical world is subservient to the spiritual one. Like the candle is there to sustain the fire. Only once I view the world in such a kind of place, that the world is a mukam avoida, and all the physical parts of the world are here to use it part of avoida Hashem, then you may enter Shabbos. So the Ram says in Masechet Shabbos that the last malacha of the week has to be at Lukas Neres. That's how he defines it. You conclude the week with the sheshes and mebreshes by lighting candles. What's the oimek of that? The oimek of it is that before you enter Shabbos, revise a little bit again what our system, what our values are. That the world that we've now dealt with for the last 6 days is a candle. Namely, there's a large physical part to it, but there's a little light on the top, and the big physical part is there for the light on the top. Ah, that's how you look at the 6 days of the Bria. Now, enter Shabbos. You chop what Shabbos is about. You can't enter Shabbos down. Therefore, it's very matin that today when you light candles, there's a nice tefillah that you say. They even made a nice frame out of it. You give it a matana to chasen and kala. Very common. Why is that the time for davening? You can say because you're doing a mitzvah. Very true, but I don't see people davening when they light Hanukkah candles. Right? So the point being, if you're davening because you're engaged in a mitzvah, how come you don't have the same ceremony when you're lighting Hanukkah candles? It's more than that, Rabbi Yisai. Lighting candles is proclaiming that the world is a mokum avoida. Avoida means to daven. You're banking on what you just now said when you light the candles. Because there's really room to ask again. You want to daven, go to shul. Why are you davening here? That's exactly the point. If I'm going to go to shul, that's what I'm saying. Davening is only there, not everywhere. When you light the candles, you're proclaiming that the world is a mokum avoida, and any part of the world could be used as a place to serve Hashem. So therefore, there's a tefillah made special by Hadlakas Neres, by reinforcing this comment that the whole world is a mokum avoida. Here, you could daven here and now. Wherever you are. That's the last thing we do before entering Shabbos. To get the right outlook, the mindset, before you enter Shabbos. The mindset before entering Shabbos is that the whole world is a Mishkan. That's the outlook. Mainly, I always say, lighting candles is really a big zach. My Rabbi Rabbi Shapir, when his wife lights candles, he stands next to her. It's like a question of zach. It could be, though, let's face it, in other Jewish homes, while the mother is lighting the candles, the background noise could be, Chaim, where's the shampoo? I don't know, go get it. That could be it. Could be awesome. But the emphasis is that lighting candles is a very special moment. It's making it of the world into Mokum Avodah. And therefore, the woman is the one who lights the candles. Why is that so? And this has to do again with what I want to speak about this parsha. The woman is the one that was created to preserve this world as a mokum avoida. I'm referring to the Mefarash Rashi and Chumash, right? But we're all awake. It's not good for man to be alone. So I would explain, what does it mean? It's not good. He's depressed. He's alone. You need companionship. Which there's definitely a way to explain the pasuk that way. That's a chazal in it. But Rashi in the spot says differently. Anybody recall what Rashi says? Anotov? They're going to say there's two authorities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yochid Ba'Elyonim Ve'en Lo Zug. V'Zev HaTachtonim Ve'en Lo Zug. They're going to say there's two of them. There's two gods. And the world which was created to be a Mokum Avoida already will turn sour and become a Mokum of kfira, of denial. Because they'll make a comparison. Hashem is one up there, and man will be one down here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Eselo Ezekenegdo, so Chava was created, to preserve the world on its original tracks. There should be a Mokum Avoida. So the creation of Aisha, even though Chava herself misbehaved shortly afterwards, but her mere, not what she did, what she is putting the world in the right perspective. It's a mokum of avodas Hashem. Man, you could look at this Rashi in a more humorous way, but that's the way you want to remember it. That the one who reminds us men that we're not God is our wives. That must know. Who reminds you you're not a God? Your wife. Right? Nachon? The Chiddush Yerim used to say, there are only two that know exactly what a person is. His friends, tell me them, they don't know. But there's two who know, the Eibushter and his wife. They know exactly where he's holding. Nachon? Emes, we know it's all true. It's Emes Amita. So Chava was created to preserve the purpose of the Bria and making the world a Mokum Avoida. Therefore, women are the ones who initially light the candles, because it's the same proclamation of the world as a Makom Avodah. Right? So that's what happens there as well. So how does this connect to Rashi in this week's Parsha? There's a Rashi that appears three times in Chumash, verbatim. Every time it says the same six words. And the first time it appears, it's Rashi in this week's Parsha. Reach nechoyach, which means a pleasant odor. So what does Rashi say on that? Nachasruach lefonai, shamaiti benasa ritzoni. This Rashi appears exactly again in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, and again in Parshas Pinchas. Word for word. Nachas ruach lefonai, shalmati benasa ritzoini. What does that mean, Rashi? What would you say? It means, when we bring a korban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, echob nachas. The people are doing what I told them. That's what Rashi means. But obviously that's impossible that Rashi means that. Why not? So in every mitzvah, you put on tefillin, you should say, nachas ruach lefonai, shalmati benasa ritzoini. You give tzedakah. You learn Torah. Why is it said only by Korbanos? If it means I have nachas that I said and people are listening, it should have been said in the Torah 248 times on all Ramach mitzvahs. But it's said only by Korbanos. What does that mean? Why is it only by Korbanos? And again, according to the simple understanding of what this pasuk means, of what Rashi means, I'm sorry. Nachas ruach, I have nachas she'amaiti, which means I commanded the nasa ritzoini, and my commandment has been fulfilled. So why did it change the words in Hebrew from amaiti and ritzoini? It should have said nachas ruach she'ratzisi v'nasa ritzoini. Nachas ruach she'amaiti v'nasa amari. If it means I have nachas that I commanded you and you fulfilled my commandment, so in English I didn't switch over to different words. Commanded, and you fill the commandment.
That's exactly the shiur Rabbi Baron gave.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So what's it? Nachas ruach she'amarti v'nasa ritzoini. Why did it change the terminology if it means the same thing? I commanded you, and you're fulfilling the commandment. But in Lashon HaKodesh, it says initially amarti, and then it says nasa ritzoini. But what Rashi is saying, Rabbi say, is the nekuda that we're talking about over here. A woman, when she gets in the morning, she makes the bracha. Shasani Katsana. Nahon?
Yeah.
Right. Now there's a few things that make me laugh. I'll explain afterwards. Okay. She says the bracha Shasani Katsana. What does that mean? What is she saying? I've been created according to Hashem's Ratzon? Pasha. Can anything be created not according to Hashem's Ratzon? You know, in Lashon HaKodesh, Rav Tzadok HaKohen points out that all objects are called chefetz. Chafatzim. Why? Chefetz means desire, to want. What's the connection between objects and chafatzim? Objects and will? You say, because usually people want chafatzim. But you want a chefetz chashud? You know what a chefetz chashud means?
Yeah.
It's an aban, right? It's a suspicious object? Not all objects are desirable. So, why are all objects called Hashem HaRotzen? Chofetz Chaim. Why? Because everything's here, because Hashem wants it to be here. And that's how come everything in Hebrew is also called Dvarim. From the word Dibur. Everything is in the world because Hashem spoke about it and He wants it to be here. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been here. So what is the chiddush that you're saying, that the Isha says, Shasani Kutzani? Of course she was created in accordance to Hashem's Ratzon. Everything's created according to Hashem's Ratzon. So, what's up, Shad? And the Taz says in Or Chaim Simon Vav that now she's the brachas al hamayla shela. She's bringing out her virtue. Which virtue? What's the virtue being expressed when you say, Shasani Kiltzona? But the ultimate Ratzon of a Kodesh Baruch Hu from the world is that she become a Makom Avodah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Mimela Rabbi say that the world became a Mokom Avodah, that's thanks to the Isha. And every Isha does that job as well. Now, it means, Shasani Kirtsona means I was created to preserve the ultimate goal of the Bria. And that's a tremendous Mimela. to make sure that the world does not go off the derech. That's what the world's about. Look at the imams. It started from Chava. Chava, that the world should not become a makom kfira. Sarah made sure that Yishmael will be asked to leave. Rivka will make sure there won't be Esav. Leah and Rachel made sure, let's leave Beis Lavan and go back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's always the tafkid of a woman. She smells it first. Make sure things don't go off the derech. It doesn't go off the derech. Preserve it the way it should be kept. That's like I'm a woman's chai when all mitzvahs lois aseh. A mitzvahs aseh depends. Zman groma, not zman groma. But lois aseh, all of them. Because what's the idea of mitzvahs lois aseh? Don't go off the derech. Don't do the kilkulim. Stay where you're on track. That's the word, exactly. Stay on track. That is the tafkid of Aisha, and that's what she's mentioning every day when she says, Shasani Kirtona. I was created to make sure the world does not go off the derech. And it started from day one, with Chava, through the Imayas, and that's always the Mahalach. Shema b'ni musar avicha va'al titosh terasimecha. Don't go off the derech. When it comes up to doing things, that's the father's job to teach us. When it comes up to make sure don't go off, that's the Isha's job. Nachasroch lefone shalmarti v'nasa retzoini means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he smells a korban, and a korban's called avoida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Echop nachas. You know what I have nachas about? That the world is reaching its goal. When I created the world, the goal was not created with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to himself. The world was created to become a makom avoda. The world was created that should, right? And we have free will. When people exercise their free will properly, and they bring a korban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's working out. It's working out. So let's go back to the words of Rashi. Nachas ruach lefonai she'amarti. In light of what we're learning today, what does she'amarti mean? I said what? That's not only in light of what we said today.
Creation.
Nachasuch lefnai she'amarti means nachasuch lefnai that I created the world and it's reaching its goal. And it's both she'amal v'hoya oilam. The creation always has to do with Amira. It's called Asar Mamoris. How is the other ten called? Aser Sadibras. What's the difference between a mimer and a dibur? A mimer is Loshen Raka. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is not commanding you what to do. It's just the creation. Yihi ol. Tatshe Aretz Deshe. It's not mechayev you. A dibur tells you what to do, so therefore it's Loshen Kosher. The terminology of Amira is always mentioned regarding the creation. Nachasroch lefonei she'amarti, that I created a world. That's the Amarti. And V'nasa Ritzoini, and the goal is being reached. Right? When I said this over many years ago to Ramesh Shapira, my Rebbe, he pointed out, he said, it's a Mefarash Rashi, what you're saying. I said, really? So you opened up a Gemara in Zvachim, and Daf Beis Amud Beis, pretty much at the beginning. On the bottom of there it says, Tano Rabbona, L'shem Shisha Dvarim Azevach Nizbach. And one of them it says, L'shem Reach. And it says over there, and Girsa of Rashi on the side, you know, on the side, it's not the Rashi that we have in front of us, but on the, there's a little art script, and it tells you, look at the side. And it says, Nachzorach Levay, She'amarti, She'amar V'hoya Oilam. That's what it says. Black and white. So, Nachzorach Levay, She'amarti is not referring to, I commanded the mitzvah, rather, it's referring to, I created a world. Rabbi said it has to be so, because the second time that Rashi mentions it, is by Korban Oila. In Vayikra, Korban Oila is in the Dova. You know, in Hasbro, the first question I'm asked every morning, is it compulsory? Anything in the world. Hi, good morning. Compulsory? You want to know, is it compulsory or not? All right. Right? Korban Oila is not compulsory. If it meant you're doing what you're told, you weren't told to bring a Korban Oila. It's in the Dova. So how can you say over there the word Shalmati? Furthermore, even if you'll say that, Kishbo will offer the idea of a Nadova. You know, they let you have it. It says also Rech Nechach by Noach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say anything about Korbanos yet. True, Rashi doesn't say it there. But the Medrash Vayikra Rabbah does say it there on that pasuk. On that pasuk by Korban Noach, it says Rech Nechach. It says also Nachas Ruach Lufanei Shabbat Menasur Tzayni. How can it be by Noach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him anything. So you have to say, it's not referring to Amarti that I commanded you, or I spoke to you. That's not what it means. Rather, Amarti means I created a world, and Noach, after the Mabul, he's the only one there, and he brought a Korbanos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's working out. This idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and with the belief, with the optimistic approach that the world will turn out to be a Mokam Avoida, is a Yalkut Shimoni on the Pasuk Kel Emuna Ve'ein Ovel. What does Kel Emuna mean? So Rashi in Chumash explains, we trust him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a trustworthy God. You know what the Yalkut Shimoni says? Kel Emuna Hemin Ba'olam Ubra'oi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in the world and created it. Meaning, the world was created and the goal has yet to be reached. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this optimistic outlook. There'll be ups and there'll be downs, but the world will reach that destination. I heard in Shlomo Kabach once, the singer, and on the pasuk, Lahagi Baboke Chazdecha, the Emunascha Balelois. So what does it mean, Chazdecha? Who's Chazdecha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Emunascha, who's Emunas? It's ours, so it should say Emunaseinu. What's the Emunascha? So he brought down the name of Alexander Rebbe. I remember that, Kabbalah was saying it. I heard it from him. I was once in a concert. Most people weren't even listening to this part, but I remember he said, what does it mean, the Emunascha? He said, Alexander Rebbe said, and he's someone who perished in the Shoah, that sometimes life is so tough, the only thing to bank on and to remember is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emuna in the world. We as humans lost it maybe sometimes. But always remember the Emunascha Balelos, when it's dark, when it's not. That's again we say after Shema at night, Emes Emuna, and in the morning, Emes Meyotzi. The word Brachas is because of Nagiba Beke Chazdecha Emunascha Balelos. Rashi and Brachas Tafiz Beitz explains that the nights represent the Golus, the Tzaras. And then sometimes the only thing left is to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw all this in advance and He created the world. That's the Emunascha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emunah. And this was the introduction to his song, Oile Hangir Vavoy. Yeah, that's how it was. It was the introduction to this song. I went over to him afterwards. Shlomo Kabach lived with us in St. Louis, Missouri in the early 60s for 6 weeks. And I went over to him and I said, Holy Japs, that's how he called me. He called everybody holy, so it's not a big guy. Huh? But anyway, I'll go up on him. I said, Yalkut Shimoni. I just said the word Yalkut Shimoni. He tells me, yeah, Kel Emuna, Hemid Ba'olam Ubra. I'm meeting on this man, that's what he told me. I just said, Yalkut Shimoni. He said, yeah, Kel Emuna. And the Zayit Ra'anan on the bottom says, Zayit Ra'anan was the commentary of the Magen Avraham. We have a very short one today on the Yalkut Shimoni. It says, people have free will. Who says they're going to do what Hashem wants? Hemin ba'olam ubra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the dosage of emuna. And our job is to bring out that emuna and to justify the emuna. You know, Chelka, when you think about the word emunascha, we say it every morning. Moide ani lefonecha, melecha v'kayam, she'ezarta bi nishmasi, v'chemla, rabba emunasecha. What does it mean in every morning? What does it mean? What does it mean? It means that we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for the vote of confidence. You gave me today another day. You give me another chance. It's a vote of confidence. Here, I'm giving you another day to live and make the best out of it. Rabba Emunasecha is, that's the idea. That we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for trusting us. Thank you for giving us this chance. Every day is a new chance. Nachon? I'll just conclude. Once we're speaking about Moide Ani, in Hebrew the word Moide has two meanings. It means thank you, gratitude, and it means to admit. I admit that you're right. Why the two have the same word? Because every time I have to say a genuine thank you, I'm admitting that I couldn't have done it on my own. It's a little blow to my ego. So therefore the two words share. But nevertheless, how do you know when you say Moide if you're referring to admitting or to thank you? By the following word. Again, this is what Rav Huta says. That if it's the following word is al, So it's, thank you. Ani mudeh lecha al she'azarta li. If the following word is with a shin, she, it's a many. Ani mudeh she'ata tzadek. Right? So according to that, I always understood the moed ani in the morning is thank you. Thank you. And then the Pirkei Toronto Nigun that was to a place 30 years ago. It really fits into that kind of mode. Moide ani lefanecha melecha v'keam sheh. Doesn't say al. I'm admitting. It's an admission. What am I admitting? I'm admitting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would have not woken up this morning if you wanted to woken me up. On my own, I couldn't have done it. I have nothing for my own. That's really what my dad means. You are the king, and you are the one that sustains us. That's like a melech. It's you. Therefore, the nigger of Pirkei Toronto maybe is not exactly appropriate. Maybe the other one is, that one maybe is more appropriate. It's an acknowledgement. When I wake up in the morning, you know, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I would have been dead meat. You know how come I'm up today? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me the chayim. Not on my own. On my own, I have nothing. Ephes. It's the biggest Hurdaz Baldin in the world. That's how a Yid starts off the morning. By acknowledging that it's all from Hashem. It's Hurdaz Baldin, not Haba'at Todah. Okay? That's the Munascha, and so on. A boy said, we should all be Zeche. Hey, to be awake. I see a lot of people come in, and they sit down and fall asleep. So I wonder, and they still come. It's called a kavod. And they could have slept at home. They come here to sleep. It's like a kavod to get my life. If they sleep, they want to sleep in the shul. Not stop. What? Gezel Shena. I want to also ask Bechila on the Gezel Shena, Rabbi Sayyid. But it's kol hakavod. The tzibur comes every day, 8:30, to start the way with the Torah way. After we start the way, we're saying, Moideh Ani. Kol hakavod, Rabbi Sayyid.